Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's time to talk that talk, and we talk it like no one else.
This is The Stinking Truth.
Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
Hey guys, welcome into The Stinking Truth Podcast. Alongside Mike Evans, I am Mark Schlereth. Thank you so much for subscribing. Thank you so much for sending out questions. We've been answering those. I just appreciate your continued support on the podcast. Mike, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. We've got a lot of news coming out of the NFL owners' meetings, the coaches talking, but some rule changes that I want to get your immediate reaction to.
Great.
So let's just kind of go right through them here. Here's our first one. Apparently, the replay assistant will now be permitted to correct certain types of incorrect calls for roughing the passer, intentional grounding. It's got to be something that was that's purely objective. How you feel about that?
Okay, purely objective. So this has been my take for quite some time now, and I don't understand why it hasn't been this way. So, you know, it goes back to my disdain for challenge flags. And the reason this has always been kind of my stance is we want to get the game correct. We want to be correct, right? That's why we have the challenge flags. So you only want to get the game correct and correctly called if, in fact, you have a challenge flag. But if you don't have a challenge flag, we don't care about you getting the game correct, right? Does that not compute? Is that incongruent with what you actually want to accomplish? And if you've got a replay assistant that has the ability to watch the game and rewind it really quickly and see, why should that guy not have the opportunity to stop and correct a bad call? Why do we have to have a guy reaching into a sock to grab a challenge flag? Is it just the drama? Is it just the television production angle? Or why do we have to break the huddle, or not even huddle, and just run up like a bunch of guys jumping out of a clown car to snap the ball really quick because we don't want them to get a look? Like, if we want to get the game correctly called, why don't we call it correctly? Why don't we have that option? Why do we have to have gimmicks? It's like the whole thing about going under the hood. You know, I know that the only reason you go under the hood is a marketing opportunity for Microsoft, right? Because you're taking money from them. But ultimately, you know, that's just for pomp and circumstance. So the whole challenge flag thing to me, and they changed the rule now.
Because now the NFL has approved giving a team a third challenge if they get one of the first two correct. It used to be you had to get the first two correct, or your allotment of two. You had to get those two correct, and then you'd be given a third. Well, in this case, you only have to get one of your first two.
Well,
to have a third.
Like, if you're going to keep the challenge flag rule, now that they've opened it up to the replay official and say, hey, on calls that objective calls, right? So now that they've opened that up, do we still need challenge flags? We're still going to go with challenge flags. Why are the challenge flags not sponsored? Like every time you throw a challenge flag out, number one, it should have a sponsorship on it. And oh, there's the challenge flag brought to you by, you know, and I mean, we should have to announce it.
Right.
It's a challenge flag. That's the Jiffy Lube challenge flag. It's got, right. Whatever the, you know, whatever the corporate sponsor.
Yeah.
So I get that whole thing to me just
seems. But ultimately, because I think we've had this conversation before. You would just as soon have no instant replay. Or I shouldn't say instant replay, but no challenges at all,
right?
In football, that you'd get rid of it all, no challenge flags, right. No buzz down in the final 2 minutes. The call is the call.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
And, well, so my whole thought process on that is the way you have asked officials to officiate the game has made for less demonstrative, and on top of the game officials, because they've been coached to say, hey, when in doubt, let's let replay figure it out. And so I think there has been less of an emphasis on being right the first time and almost just swallow your whistle and we'll see if anybody challenges it or we'll see. Like to me, one, you have the technology now to have somebody or a group of people watching the game. And if there's something that's egregious, just stop the game and fix it. If it's not egregious, then we move on. Like, I don't understand why that's so hard. Now, maybe you like the drama of the challenge flag, or maybe you like the strategy of, should I use my challenge flag? Should I not use my challenge flag? But the whole process or the premise of the challenge flag from day one was to get the game right.
Yeah.
And that's what I never understood. Like, well, we want to get the game right, but we're only going to allow you to get the game right twice.
Right.
What?
Right. Or like, if you're just dealing with a bad crew that day.
Right.
And they keep making mistakes, why should you run out of challenges? Hey, dude. Stop making mistakes.
Fault that the crew is out, you know, doing whatever they were doing.
Stop making mistakes and I'll stop throwing challenge flags. Yeah. But if you're going to keep screwing up this game, I got to still be able to throw the challenge flag, which ultimately for me, and I think I speak for all you fans out there, I don't think you care how many challenge flags there are, how long it takes, just get it right, because the games are just too damn important. There aren't that many of them,
right?
And seasons and fortunes and your fans' fortunes can twist and get shaped by one game here or there, a bad call. Just get it right.
Right.
That's ultimately all I care about.
Right.
Expand replay as much as you want to.
And I've just always thought that there's enough technology and somebody sitting up there watching the game that has the ability to rewind it. You could see it right now, and then you could just buzz down. The official stops the game.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we've stopped this game for an official review. Upon further review, the challenge booth upstairs says, you know, we move on. Or the challenge, hey, that wasn't a fumble. Whatever. It just doesn't seem that hard to me.
Would it be kind of fun if you had like a voice of God type thing?
Mm.
Okay? So it wasn't just a buzz down
from
upstairs. It was like literally you like put it into the sound system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop the game.
This is a big
and everybody looks up.
Like, right.
Where'd that come from? Now that would be cool. Here's another one for you. The NFL has eliminated the swivel hip drop tackle out of the game. Explain what that tackle is.
I don't know.
The hip drop tackle. What is it?
So I think when you grab a guy and then you just like kick your feet in the air and you fall down. Like now that's like.
Isn't that just a tackle?
Yeah, it used to be just a tackle. But now that's a, you know, I don't understand. I don't know how you're going to officiate that. The hip drop tackle. I don't know how exactly you're going to officiate that. And okay, so I would ask you this. When I grab you, you have to stop. How about that? Right? So if you get grabbed now, so are we going to stop offensive players from fighting for extra yards. Because if I grab you, like, my thought process is you got to get a guy down. I don't know until you ever have been in a position to understand that the dude I'm blocking or the dude I'm supposed to tackle is about to make a play, the panic that goes through your body. I mean, utter panic of missing a tackle, missing a play, missing a block. Like, it makes you do things that you probably wouldn't do under normal circumstances. I got fined one time in my career. One time for, I know this can be hard for a lot of you to believe, for an illegal chop block.
No. Right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, one time.
Stunning.
Yeah, it is stunning. And it was in a preseason game against the Green Bay Packers. We were in Green Bay. We were playing at the University of Wisconsin at Camp Randall Field. And we're running some type of draw. And I don't remember the exact circumstance. I just remember that my guy was about to make a tackle on this draw. And he was running. His legs were exposed. And I just, wah, right on the, I mean, boom, flags. I was getting peppered with flags, you know. And I went back and saw it the next day on tape, and I was just like, ugh, that's bad. But again, it's only a preseason game. But I'm like, my dude's about ready to make a play. I can't allow him to make a play. You know, I took a bad set or I slipped or whatever it was. And, like, what goes through your mind, you're not thinking about hip drop. You're thinking about getting a guy down. If he's fighting for extra yards, then I'll take him down anywhere I can take him down. That's why I've always thought the horse collar tackle was stupid. What am I going to do? Just go, oh, man, the only way I can get him is by grabbing the inside of his shoulder pads right there, and I'll just let him score. Like, because then you know what you do? You lose your job.
So how are you going to tackle a player from behind? Tackle him forward? So I guess the idea is that if you're chasing, let's say, a linebacker's chasing a running back, and he's 6 yards downfield,
right?
And you're chasing him from behind, you can't grab him and fall backwards.
Right.
I guess you got to, if he's already 6 yards downfield, you just got to tackle him, like, forward another 2 or 3 yards?
I guess, yeah. I just don't know. Like I said, the offensive, it's not like the offensive players aren't going to continue to fight for extra yards. You know, I think it's the whole premise of the same thing as the horse collar tackle. If you grab them and then fall, you know, they could hurt their legs or whatever. I mean,
but here's what I note the irony of this. Okay.
Okay.
So they're taking out the hip drop tackle because it's not safe. Guys are getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
They recently, remember, changed the kickoff rules because they determined that the highest rate of injury occurred on kickoffs. Well, until they saw last year that the kickoff was basically taken out of the game because all the kicks were going through the end zone or teams were doing that fair catch and immediately taking it up to 25.
Right.
So that play has basically disappeared from the NFL, and the NFL said, whoops, in our zest to go out, our zeal to go out and make the game safer, because of this play, we basically took away the play and the excitement of the play. Now we got to find a way to get this play back into effect because it's such a potentially exciting play. So I'm kind of curious to see how this whole thing works with the hip drop tackle. I could see 1 year later they'll be like, well, yeah, maybe guys are safer, but you know, guys can't make tackles.
But are they? You shouldn't be able to, you know, you shouldn't be able to run for extra yards. Once the guy touches you, eventually does it become two-hand touch? Here's a conversation I had with Roger Goodell. And he came to a game I was calling in Detroit. And so I was down there, you know, pregame and saw Roger. And we started talking about, you know, player safety and this, that, and the other. And the questions he always is asking me. And you know, I had this, like, this very frank and real conversation, is when are we going to stop trying to appease people who hate our game? Our game is dangerous. Inherently, it's dangerous. If you play this game, it's not if you get hurt, it's when you get hurt. 100% of the people who play this game are going to get hurt. It's just a fact. And no matter what we do to safen it, there still will be a faction of people who hate our game. Fuck them. I don't care about those people. Let them hate. Let them dislike our game. Let them complain. Let them do whatever it is they're going to do. Because guess what? Regardless of how much you try to change their opinion, there will always be a couple of Karens or Todds who are on your ass. Fuck them. I don't need them. We have the most popular game in the world. Why are we constantly apologizing for it? Well, maybe not in the world, but in our world. How about that? In our world.
In the world, it matters.
Yes, exactly. So, good point. I just don't understand why we are trying to change the opinion of people who want to be victims, who want to be angry, who want to be upset, who will never, like, they want to eradicate football because it's, oh, it's too tough and, you know, whatever. I don't care about those people. So why are we trying to change their opinions? Hey, listen, they've done a great job as far as trying to eliminate some of the head trauma. It is what it is. It's going to happen. And it's unfortunate, but it's the way it is. And guess what? Everybody who's involved in this game now, okay, they settled a lawsuit from years ago. Everybody who walks into this game assumes a certain responsibility and assumes a certain risk. And they have assessed that in their own minds and said, the risk is worth the reward to me. And so you walk in one step at a time, willingly understanding what that risk is. So again, I say, for all the people who hate our game, fuck you. I don't care. Excuse my French. But I just don't care about those people.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Some other stuff to get to. Robert Saleh talking at the coach's breakfast at the owners' meeting, saying for the Jets, enough hype. The hype is done.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to start winning football games. That the hype was great last year, created by Aaron Rodgers, but now it's time to start winning football games.
Okay.
I think that makes sense.
Now's the time.
Now's the time. Now's,
so the last 20 years, not so much, but now's the time.
Well, you don't. How long is Aaron Rodgers going to play? Right. You get
Aaron
back? Well, I mean,
if you don't win now, Robert Saleh loses his job. And, you know, I'm a big Robert Saleh guy. I love Robert. But, yeah, you gotta win. That's what it comes down to. And last year, let's face it, last year there was a lot of hype and there was a legitimate reason for that hype. Aaron Rodgers was a lot of the reason. But that defense was great. And they were great last year, even with no offense to speak of. They were. That defense was legit. And so, yeah, I mean, that defense should still be really good. They've got great players. And if Rodgers can be what Rodgers always seems to be, then yeah, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of hype.
I remember doing this podcast before the season last year, and you were.
I can no longer confirm or deny that I was excited about the Jets last year.
You were very high on the Jets. In fact, you felt like the Jets were the team to beat in the East.
I did.
With Rodgers, though.
Yeah,
And you weren't alone. Mm-mm. And so based on what you saw last year with that team without Rodgers, you bring back a healthy Rodgers. Are they the team to beat in the AFC East? Buffalo seems to have maybe slipped a bit.
Buffalo lost a lot of players.
Dolphins can't play if it's below 32 degrees.
Yeah, below 45 degrees. Yeah.
So what does that leave? The Patriots have become shockingly irrelevant.
Oh, yeah. The Patriots are bad. I think if Aaron Rodgers, you know, is what he is, he's healthy and he's what he is, then I think that the Jets, I think they win that division.
Mm-hmm.
With that defense, I think they win that division. Now, a lot of people sit there and talk about the offensive line, and you know my feeling about offensive line. Like, it's incredibly important, but a lot of it has to do with the way you call plays and the way your quarterback plays. How quickly he gets rid of the ball. How much quick game you have in. You know, how much run you have, and you can really take an average group and make them a way above average, even to good or better than good, with the way you call plays and the way your quarterback operates. And so that's gonna be incumbent upon Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett to get that done. But it's amazing how much pressure you can take off a group by the way you call plays. And like Aaron is very, very aware of that. And, you know, we'll see what other additions they make to that offensive line. But I do. I'm high on the Jets. I'm high. If Aaron is the Aaron before he got hurt, if he is that guy and he looked like that way, the way he was rehabbing that mm-hmm. Achilles, then, yeah, there's no reason they shouldn't be really good.
So it's funny because when I heard Saleh make those comments about, hey, enough of the hype, it's time to deliver results,
right?
It reminded me, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, Deion Sanders came out and said, hey, my first year at CU was fun. Mm. We create a lot of hype, a lot of buzz, but now it's about winning games in year two. Right. Deion Sanders went on a podcast and he said that when it comes to his son Shador, the quarterback of the Buffs, and Travis Hunter, the dynamic two-way player, mm-hmm. he said, I don't see either one of them slipping beyond number four overall in the draft.
Yeah.
But then he said, but hold on. He said, I'm going to decide where they go play because there are going to be some cities, they're not going to be on the list. And right. he said, put it this way, it'll be like Eli Manning, the last guy to say, I'm not going to play for a certain team, the uh-huh. Chargers,
right.
ended up with the Giants. Phillip Rivers ends up with the Chargers. The rest is history. You got to go back to like 1983 when John Elway said, I'm not playing for the Baltimore Colts. He ends up getting shipped to Denver. The rest is history. So we've only had really two examples of this in the last 40 years. Mark, are we getting ready with more and more powerful college players influencing, having power to exert? Are we going to see that now translate to the NFL where guys are like, sorry, I'm not going to play for you. I don't care if you got the first pick. Well, I'm not playing for you.
We've already seen, like, Caleb Williams said, hey, man, you're not going to get my medicals. Like, you know, you're not going to get to poke and prod me and mm-hmm. check me out. Like, it's not going to happen. And so you've already seen a shift in some of the attitudes. I've said it forever with the way the NFL releases the Wunderlich scores. You know, somebody leaks all those scores. Like, that's confidential information. And I said, if I was the head of the Players Association, I'd say, we're not taking that test anymore. Not one guy's going to take it. What are you going to do? Okay, well, we're not drafting you? No, they're still going to have a draft. So, yeah, I think guys are more empowered than they've ever been. And I know this about the NFL. It's very seldom that any player ever has leverage. And let me just tell you how the league works. When the league has leverage, which is about 99.9% of the time, they swing the hammer. They use it against you. They fire you. They cut you. They trade you. They do whatever, right? When you have it, and it's not very often that you have it as a player, you better swing that damn hammer. And if you have the ability to swing it, then why not? Now, one thing Deion knows better than anybody is he knows who's in it to win it, who's got the right ownership to win it, and who's not. Having been around the league forever and understanding the league very well, and I tell you this all the time, there are 12 teams in the NFL that actually want to win a championship. Everybody wants to win a championship. There are 12 teams who are actually structured properly and have the wherewithal to actually chase a championship, that are sold out to chasing a championship. Then there are 20 teams that just want to continue to gain, 12% a year in value. And if a championship happens to fall in their laps, then great, we'll take it. But they're not truly, truly doing whatever it takes to win a championship. And so, I believe that to be true.
All right, so you're exposing kind of the little dirty secret that only like 12 out of 32 teams are really, really committed to winning. But that doesn't change the fact that this is a league that has been built on the idea of driving everything towards the middle. Everything is parity driven.
Mm-hmm.
Free agency, the draft, scheduling, it's all designed
right.
to allow a team that's down to come up
right.
with the understanding that a team that's up top, hey, we might have to push them back towards the middle. That's what this whole league has been built on. And as you just laid out, nobody can argue with the results. If you start empowering players to say, oh, I only want to play here, I only want to play in this market, I only want to play in this city, right. I don't want to play in the cold, you run the risk of upsetting the golden goose.
I think there's probably
And I know it's down the road, yeah. but it's going to take a while. But, hey, once that ball starts rolling.
I think there's probably one or two players right now, a generation that have one that have the value to be able to do that. And it's not only have the value to do that, but a lot of players don't have the value. If they do have the value, there are a lot of players that wouldn't do it because they wouldn't think it's the right thing to do. Right? So they don't have the arrogance, if you will, or the selfishness, if you will, to buck the system. Most guys don't feel comfortable doing that. Now, that may change with all the NIL money and everything mm-hmm. else and all those things. Because, it could come down, like a guy like Caleb Williams, you could force yourself out of Chicago and say, I don't want to do that. I want to go to Chicago. But now, if you're used to an NIL deal, like an NIL world, because they said he made $10 million the last 2 years or something like that in NIL money. Well, I know one thing. I went to Chicago as a free agent, flunked the physical, but I went there as a free agent. They showed me their offseason marketing and how much money you can make, even as an offensive lineman, how much money, how many different appearances, because that's a huge market in Chicago with a lot of big business and a lot of corporate events. Like, so if you're really all like, are you about the game or are you about, the quote-unquote bag? Because if you're about the bag, then Chicago or one of these markets, whether they're good or not, is a great market to go to. Because you can make some serious money outside of what you do. Like, I played in Washington. We had a free agent kid come over that had played for the Giants. And the guy for the Giants said, man, I made more money. I was a backup player, but I made more money in the offseason showing up to bars on Monday night for whatever, for Monday Night Football, for instance. And he'd be guest bartending. I made more money in appearances than I made in base salary playing for the Giants. Now, this is back in the late 80s, early 90s. But that's like, you can go to a market like that and you can get, you can become big. Now, my question would be, you want to be a celebrity or you want to be a football player? Do you want to build a brand or you want to build your career? Because you need to build your career and the brand stuff will come along with it eventually. But, then it takes some maturity to understand that, hey, man, if I'm building a brand, the odds are I'm sloughing on the career, mm-hmm. and I ain't going to be around very long.
Well, it bears watching with, because this is Deion Sanders we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And if we've already seen Deion make such a huge impact on college football to the point where he really kind of is the face now of, yeah, of the new modern day college football, NIL, transfer portal, going out, building your brand, making mm-hmm. money, all that kind of stuff. And if he's the guy, along with his son, mm-hmm. who's at the forefront of doing this now when it comes to deciding where you go in the NFL, I'm just saying that's a powerful force that could really up a lot of upheaval for the way the system is right now.
Think about Deion's journey. He gets drafted by the Falcons, right? And eventually he shares time between Dallas and San Francisco, winning championships in both cities, right? And he understands back in those days, that was before Arthur Blank, but back in those days, the ownership of the Falcons and where they were compared to Eddie
DeBartolo. Yep.
And you know, and Jerry Jones at the time, when it was still Jimmy Johnson, like, there's a difference. So he understands championship organizational structure, and he understands how this league works. So, I don't know. Makes sense to me.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, Bears Watch. You want to get some questions from the listeners, the watcher, the viewers here? This one's from Jones Bones, who says, Mark, do you believe that teams that build through the trenches have a better odds of long-term success than those that choose to go with, you know, skill position guys, things like that? So-called skill position guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I know how you bristle whenever I use that term.
You're talking about real skill versus fake skill.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I will always tell you that if you win in the trenches, like, there's certain things that don't go in and out of vogue. There's certain things that will always win, and they're tried and true. And one is, if you can dominate both lines of scrimmage, you're going to win on a consistent basis. I mean, that is as old as the day is long. That is football 101. And so, yeah, I'm a big believer in trench warfare. I'm a big believer in the person that dominates the trenches, the team that dominates the trenches, the team that dominates time of possession, the team that does all those things is the team that eventually is going to win 80-85% of the games. Now, every now and again, you're going to have something that bucks the trend because you got somebody who's so exceptional to play quarterback, whatever. But the bottom line is that is always going to win football games.
This one comes in from Jeff Stoddard, who says, Stank, do you anticipate any kind of impact on the NFL in the wake of the Shohei Ohtani story?
Well, I think the thing that they'll go back and they will reiterate and they will preach and they will talk to all their players about ad nauseum is the rules on gambling. And so, yeah, there'll be more education, there'll be more meetings, and there'll be more, mm-hmm. hey, guys, there's serious consequences to this. But gambling, you made your bed, right? You got in and you made your bed. And ultimately, you would think, the Shohei Ohtani thing is interesting to me because you would think that, like, with all the different options you have, like, how are you still getting involved with the, you know, the seedy underbelly mm-hmm. side of it, right? So, yeah, that's well, because if you're, I don't know, I don't want to point the finger to him and say he's guilty, but It certainly is ugly. But it, like, the rules to me are very simple. You don't bet on football at all. If you play in the NFL, you don't bet on football. And you don't bet from your facility. And anytime you're on the road, you're the road is an extension of the facility. Team bus, team plane, team hotel. So if you go on the road, guess what? Too late to place a bet. Right? You can only bet from the privacy, essentially, of your home.
Really? I'm sitting in the locker room. I got time to kill. Or I'm on the bus. I'm on the plane.
Nope.
I can't bet on an NBA game?
Nope.
Well, that's dumb.
Because you're on the team. You're in the team facility.
Who cares?
The NFL cares.
Yeah, well, the NFL is also looking like giant hypocrites here because they're making billions off of gambling sites.
So they're still letting you gamble on the NFL, but on the other. But you have to do it.
I get the NFL, but come on, that just seems like it's dumb. If I'm sitting around and you and I are killing time and we want to place a bet on the Avalanche Winnipeg playoff game,
yeah, we can do that. In the lottery, like, I can go, hey, $10 on this game, uh-huh, right? But you can't do it on the app.
While we're in the building.
While we're in the building. That's or dumb. While you're on the team bus. That's or dumb. While you're on the... they're pretty simple rules, though, right? Oh,
simple and dumb.
There's a lot of things that are dumb. I'm dumb. And simple.
Banning the hip drop tackle. Right. Dumb.
That is dumb.
That is dumb. Last question. This one's a little intense. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Alexander Harrell. Mark, why do you have a problem with successful black men like Russell Wilson? Because it obviously goes deeper than football.
Well, successful black men, I mean, I have no problem. I love, as much as I hate him, I love Patrick Mahomes. I mean, there are so many guys that Justin Jefferson and there's so many guys that I am absolutely enamored by, and they're very successful. Hell, half of my team, well, 70% of the teammates, like 70% of the NFL is black. That's just foolishness. I couldn't care less about that. I want a guy that is unselfish, a guy that puts his teammates first, a guy that plays exceptionally well, and a guy that accepts responsibility when things go wrong, especially the quarterback position. The biggest factor at the quarterback position to me is when things go right, you deflect 100% of the credit and you give it to your teammates. It's what you're supposed to do. And when things go wrong, even if it's not your fault, you accept 100% of the blame and you take ownership of it. That's called leadership. And that's what I expect from the quarterback position. Russell Wilson doesn't do either of those things.
Having worked with you for about 8 years, I can tell you, Alexander and anybody else, Mark is an equal opportunity criticizer. Doesn't matter.
Sure.
It's all about football. You're colorblind. I say this sincerely. You are colorblind when it comes to criticism of NFL players.
Oh, well, I mean, like, if you play great,
yeah,
I'll praise you. I was on Baker Mayfield forever. I was on Baker Mayfield's list.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys, I told Baker Mayfield, this is the story. So Baker Mayfield, you know, we do this, the Fox, I don't want to call it seminar. What do we decide to call it?
Summit.
Summit. The Fox Summit. Summit sounds more
much
important.
Much more important than just than a seminar.
Seminar.
A and, summit.
So Baker happened to be celebrating his anniversary, same week. I had no idea. I was like, yeah, right. You had no idea. But, like, we've had our tete-a-tete,
yeah,
so to speak. Yeah. He was mad because, you know, I didn't like him coming out of the draft or whatever. And we sat down at, you know, we just kind of happened to bump into each other, and we just kind of sat down, and we were chatting. And I said to him, listen, man, I can be a dick because the game's that important to me. It's important to me. And I said, listen, if you're great, I'm going to praise you. If you stink, I'm going to tell you you stink. It's just the way I operate. And, like, I was really excited about him going to Tampa last year. And I was really excited about the journey he'd been on because the year before last, he was in Carolina taking scout team reps as a defensive end. the humbling process that he's been through was really cool. So I was really excited to see him do what he did. And we ended up later on that night having beers, you know, and him coming over back over to the seminar. He sent his wife to bed. And we're playing like cornhole and talking smack, and we had a great time. Just a great time competing and playing cornhole. And it's just the way it is. And the bottom line is, this game, and I've said this before, is the lifeblood that courses through my veins. I love this game. I love that I had an opportunity to play this game. And I'd be hard-pressed to say that there's anybody who's sacrificed any more than I have to play this game. And that's why it's so damn important to me. And it's important to me from my story of Marvin Washington and somebody that sacrificed so I could get into the game and the sacrifices I made for every team that I played with, I go, that's important to me. And I feel like if you're not doing the same thing, if you're not willing to make those same sacrifices, then that bothers me. And, you know, and you hear the things, and I hear them firsthand from Seattle and players that Russell played with, those things bother me. And I'm sorry, but they bother me, and I'm going to call it like I see it.
Last question, and this is the hardest hitting of all the questions. Oh, yeah. Mark, what would ruin your day more, covering the NFL Combine or finding a dead spot on your grass?
Covering the Combine. The dead spot, I'm an expert. I'll fix that in, like, no time at all.
Uh-huh.
I'll be out there. You know that I haven't washed my yard work uniform.
In how many years?
3 years now.
3 years.
This would be my fourth season.
Yeah.
In the same shorts and t-shirt.
Yeah, you just stack them.
Dude, they're just right there. And
just
they
stack
are.
Stack them there.
My wife, I used to have them by the door as you exited.
Uh-huh.
She made me move them to the opposite side of the garage, so they just sit on hooks in there. So first thing I do, the garage doors are wide open. I live in a cul-de-sac. I walk out in my underpants, and I put on my shorts. And then I drop and put on my t-shirt, and you know what it smells like? Victory is what it smells like. It smells like freaking victory.
And when you change, it's kind of got a Superman quality about it.
It really does.
You're changing into your
Superman
costume.
I'll fix a dead spot in my yard in no time at all.
Uh-huh. The Combine.
The Combine is just a dead spot. It's just a dead
and it ain't coming back.
No, it is a dead spot. Anyhow, hey, listen, for everybody involved in the Stink Truth podcast, we appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, follow, shoot us a question, do all those things. Share it with your friends. Really, truly appreciate you guys. We are growing like a weed right now, so it's really cool, and it's all thanks to you guys. Okay, we'll be back with you guys later on in the week.